This is the third in a series. We're going through something of membership at Rugeley Community Church. And you can see my topics for today are a little bit of history about the church and then talking about baptism. So what I don't want you to do is sort of turn off, I suppose. I think there might be some people here that go, well, I know the history and I've been baptised, so what? There is something for everybody. I've tried to make sure that there's a message for everybody here, regardless of which particular box you fit into this morning. So these are the three kind of booklets that we've got. So the membership booklet you've got, the prophetic booklet Richard's going to give out when Richard talks 3 weeks time. And the baptism booklet, we're not going to be giving that out today, but it will be available for those that want to pursue being baptised. You know, that booklet is also available, which obviously goes through the topic of baptism in more detail. So I'm just going to be going over a few points with you this morning. So as I begin, I wanted to ask you a question, which is based on this slide here. I'm going to give you, not really, but I'm going to give you £100,000. There you go. There you go. One for everybody. Okay. You've got to put it in a bank. Because that's a sensible thing to do. I know. But that's a sensible thing to do, isn't it? Keep it somewhere secure. Okay, so I've got four banks on the screen there. I want you to think, which one are you going to put your £100,000 in? The cat one, says Sharon, yeah. I suppose what I'm getting at is kind of how is your decision-making process going? What are you looking for? Anybody?
Familiarity,
that's right. Is it something that we've seen before? And you won't have seen the lolcat bank because I made that up last night. So that's a new one. So we're not too sure about that one. Anything else that we might be looking for in a bank?
Reputation,
security, good. Say again?
Interest.
Absolutely, yeah, the actual facts and figures. So you might find that lolcat bank are offering, you know, the better rate, the actual better number. But then you're going, well, you know, am I going to take a risk? Am I going to go for it? Or am I going to go to a more established bank that, say, maybe doesn't have the actual highest number? I'd also say it's about the people, isn't it? Is there a local branch when you go in? Are you welcomed well? Do they kind of do a good job? What's your sort of experience with them? What I'm really doing there is linking in with the history of Rugeley Community Church. Okay? If you wanted to become a member of Rugeley Community Church, you want to know us. You want to know what we're about. You want to know who's in charge. You want to know, you know, how do they kind of treat people around here? Where do they meet? Those are the sorts of things you want to know if you're becoming a member. And I would suggest that the history of the church is, you know, a small part of that journey about getting to know us. You could argue that it's not that important. Maybe, and I'd agree that actually what's in place now is more important than what happened 10, 20 years ago. But it is still part of the journey of getting to know us. So I'm going to run through that very briefly. Out of interest, who likes Investco? It's funny, isn't it? It's all, what's the word? It's all just the way that you perceive different things. For me, that's awful. I do not like Invesco at all. I've no idea who they are. I just found it on Google image search. But for me, that logo, no, I don't like that at all. It looks very childish somehow. And so I think, no, I wouldn't trust them with my money. So, the history of Rugeley Community Church. So we can actually trace our history back to 1972, where a group of people who lived in Rugeley decided they were going to meet together in the midweek and have a Bible study together. And one of those people was our very own Rosemary Rosenberg over there. So, We've got one of the founding people of Reader Community Church here. So yeah, thank you, Rosemary, for helping me put these slides together. So it is a very brief history, so if there are, some gaps, then that's to be expected. And after a while, this group grew, and they sought a place to meet on a Sunday morning, as well as the midweeks. So they rented a space at what was called the Handicap Centre in Church Street. Now, I've made life difficult for the people, the AV guys at the back, so I want them to pull up Google Maps so we can just have a quick look at where we're talking about. So we've got Western Springs Road there going down. Is my laser pen going to work? Yeah. So here, that's kind of a major crossroads. So here's our church around this side here. That way goes off to the Chase. You can turn left down Church Street, and then the place we're interested in is just here, isn't it, Matt? We can pull the little guy down. And there it is. That's the handicap centre that the church used to meet at on a Sunday morning. And if you keep going down Church Street, you eventually get to St. Augustine's and the Aldi shop down there. So that's approximately where we are in Rugeley. Thank you very much. Can we go back to my PowerPoint? Thank you. In 1975, the church grew further. Now we've got around 20 or 30 people. And we were decided to move the Sunday morning meeting to the community centre at Fernwood Shops. Now, you probably recognise that, the Fernwood Shops, because also around 1980, so again, it's happened quite quickly, I think, you know, the kind of growth and the movement of the church happened quite quickly. Around 1980, Rugeley Evangelical Free Church, which was the name that was given to the people that were meeting, decided to look into having their own purpose-built premises. So they started to get a building fund together, and they actually built the community centre at Fernwood, which is they moved into in 1983. So Rosemary's kind of told me a little bit about that journey. One of the elders at the time was in the building trade, so he kind of formed a big part of that. And also there was a lot of ringing round to different companies to try and, you know, have you got anything going cheap? What can you give us? There was a lot of sort of begging and borrowing to kind of get the resources together to build the church. So it must have been a real, real joyous experience to kind of see that being put together. So can we have a look at that, please, AV guys? Because again, I'm aware that there's some people here that never actually went to our previous building. So we can see, there we go, see Green Lane there. So yeah, if you drop the man on there, brilliant. That big bit of green over to the left-hand side, that's actually where they had the Charter Fair this year. So normally the Charter Fair is on our field, if you like, I call it our field, but you know what I mean. But because of the building works there, they had it on this field instead. And if we spin around and then walk down, so there's the spa or the co-op, I think it's spa now, isn't it? And we walk down here, over to the left-hand side, we've got all these new fancy flats and houses that were built. But part of that land here was actually where the community building was at that point. So we were actually meeting in that place over there. I think it then became something that the NHS were using. Then it became just an abandoned sort of building. Again, very, very small. And then once the purpose-built building is over the other side of the road, say a lot of you are going to recognise that building. So that was what was built. So they moved in 1983 into that building there. The extension on the side, those that have been in will know what I mean. There's a kind of a side hall here. But again, that wasn't part of the original building. That was added on a little bit later to give a bit more space, particularly for children's work. Thank you very much. Oh, and can we go to the aerial view? And then from then we then moved into our purpose-built building, and I just wanted to show you that. I don't know if you've been on to Google Maps recently, but yeah, that is taken obviously not too many months ago, And that's, you can see that the flood barrier. So there's our building here. That's where we are right now. And you can see this is the flood defences that are starting to be formed in. You can just see the scale of the project, really. It is quite amazing just how big of a job this is. And obviously it's going to be glassed over again and looking pretty in the future. But yeah, right now, so it's quite a big mark on the landscape there. Can we go back to my PowerPoint, please, guys? Thank you very much. So just moving back a little bit. So when he moved into there in 1983, the person in who was the lead elder or the pastor at the time was a guy called Will Graham. He was the first full-time pastor, and he was later succeeded by Colin Phillips. In 2001, Nigel Lloyd arrived. He took over being in the leadership of the church. And he did two kind of key things in the journey of our church. First of all, we renamed the church, Rugeley Community Church, which is the name that we've still got now. And we joined the New Frontiers movement, which was started by Terry Virgo. So again, most of you have heard of that movement of churches. And that was really important to have kind of a structure in place in terms of who's actually looking after the leaders, who's actually in charge of kind of overseeing the church and making sure that it's healthy, going in the right direction. It's important to have that kind of structure in place. New Frontiers very much fitted in with our vision of having national and international connections, about reaching other people, and particularly about how we saw the role of the Holy Spirit. So it was all very much in line with our way of thinking. So that was a really good thing to join them. The next leader of Rugeley Community Church was Dave Turner, who moved from South Africa with his family in 2005. Our very own Richard Miller was serving as in the eldership under Dave Turner, and he took over the leading of the church in 2009. In 2010, Rugeley Community Church, we started to create a building fund. We actually started looking at our next move, say in 2010, because we had reached a point in that current building in Fernwood where we saw that we were at sort of 75-80% capacity of that building. And we realised that, yeah, unless we moved somewhere bigger, that, you know, we would never kind of fill that last 20%. And so that journey, was quite an interesting journey from, say, starting that fund. We looked into leasing premises, we looked in renting places, we looked at actually creating just an empty plot of land and building straight from nothing. So we investigated lots of different possibilities. And some of that is covered in the prophetic booklet, with some of the prophetic words that we had at that time, which kind of led our journey in decision-making. In 2015, Rugeley Community Church successfully won the bidding process to take over the running of what was called the Youth and Community Centre, which is where we're sitting today. So we sold the premises in Fernwood, and after a brief spell of meeting in the school, just down the road here on Burnt Hill Lane, which is now called part of the Hart School. So there, as you guys remember that, we kind of met in there for a little while. In 2016 was another really key step in our journey, where we increased our staff to include two part-time coordinators, Kev and Lisa, and also a full-time building manager, which is Dave Webb. So we increased our paid staff from 1 to 4. Also in 2016, the decision was taken to take a step away from New Frontiers and be overseen by church leaders that we had relationships and experience with. New Frontiers as a movement itself, say, was led by Terry Virgo. Around that sort of time period, Terry Virgo realised that, you know, he didn't want to, and, you know, because of age, thought, well, I can't sort of be in charge of this movement forever. So he decided to move the New Frontiers movement into spheres, so kind of splitting it up into smaller groups that would kind of look after each other. And those spheres wouldn't just be based around geographical location, but also to do with relationships, you know, what kind of connections and relationship they had with each other. and say very briefly, I think that we've said, yeah, we like that. We like that idea. We like that model. But actually, you know, our relationships are with these people and these churches instead. So we decided to take a step away from New Frontiers. Can I have the website up, please? I just wanted to let you know that there is a little bit more information about this on our website, which myself and Matt spent some time putting together. So hopefully you've had a look at it already. If you haven't, we're going to be putting it on the screen now for you to have a quick look at. But there's just a couple of pages that I wanted to bring to your attention. So there's two pages on the website in particular. One's called Our Church. And the other one is called Our Story. So Our Story, say, has a kind of brief dates and what happened and when. So that's of interest. And also in the box that's called Our Church, we can click on that, please, team. It's got some information about our vision, our culture, what we believe, some of the things that Dave covered in the previous section. And also, on the right-hand side, you can see those are our partners. So those are the people now that we are in relationship with. Those are kind of looking after us from a kind of higher position. So we've got Dave and Julie Connolly, Tony and Kay Smith, Tony and Ursula Wassell, and Pete and Kim Carter. So hopefully you recognise those names and recognise those faces as being the people that are kind of overseeing the leadership here at Rugeley Community Church. Okay, right, the AV guys will be very happy to know that I'm done as far as the fancy stuff goes. And say, if you want to know some more, then come and ask, and we'll be happy to tell. I think, like with any organisation, there's been some ups and there's been some downs. And yes, I have sort of glossed over some of the downs. Say, if you want to know, then say we haven't got any secrets, then we can tell you about them, but that's, say, a very brief kind of history of where we've been. So I want to talk about baptism now. I've got a couple of pictures there on the screen there. Recognise anyone, Pete? Yeah? Recognise that? So that was back in our old building. Helpfully the date's on there, 28th of March 2010. And I'm not sure who put that caption on there. It might have been Richard, it might have been someone else. Have we ever seen joy any better than this? And that's really what baptism, you know, baptism is supposed to be a joyful occasion. I think anything else that I say today, I'm going to talk about some kind of biblical reasons why we're going to be baptized. But really, you know, baptism is about joy. It's about joy for the person being baptized, and it's a joyous occasion for us as a family as well to witness. Any guesses who this guy is? It's me, that's right, yeah. So I got baptised in my kind of church I grew up in Upton-upon-Severn in Worcestershire. And that was on my 21st birthday. It was really good timing, really. I had all my friends round, my Christian friends, my non-Christian friends. We had a party at my house. On the Saturday evening, and then on the Sunday morning, they all kind of slept over, all slept on the floor and on the sofas, and then on the Sunday, came and saw me get baptized. So it was a really, really brilliant experience. Oh dear. I've managed to not, save the very, very latest version of this PowerPoint, so I'm actually missing a picture from here. But it doesn't really matter because it's quite a blurry picture. I took it off Facebook. I don't know, I guess some of you have seen, Yanush and Camilla Lars, who used to come to this church, are now in Brighton, training to be church leaders themselves. So their son, Michael or Mikkel, he got baptized recently. I'm not sure exactly when, but recently. And there's a lovely video, of Yanush and Camilla actually baptizing, Michael at their church. So I was going to have a picture of that on the screen there. So say, real joyful occasion. Okay, I wanted to talk through this story here from the Bible. So yeah, if you've got your Bibles with you, If you'd like to follow along in your own one, then you can. Obviously, it's going to be on the screen here. So this is Acts chapter 8. And it's a story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. If you're wondering what a eunuch is, I'm not going to go into it completely, except to say that it is someone that had special role in the kingdom to look after the women that were in the kind of kingdom. So, chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south of the towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over, join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. I'm skipping a little bit forward now to verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. So I just wanted to pick out a few points from this story. Obviously, the story is to do with baptism. But really, it's a story about the eunuch, for sure, being baptized. But it's also a story about Philip. So I think, you know, for those of you that have already been baptized, then you can see yourself through the eyes of Philip. And I think the first thing I want to point out is that Philip was obedient here, wasn't he, in the story. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, and rise and go towards the south, go to this particular place. This is a desert place. I think that's quite a key thing to say. The angel of the Lord says, "Go here, by the way, this is a desert place." Philip's going, "Don't really want to, why are you sending me there? It's a desert place." So he's not being told why he's going there. He's not been given any special instructions. Just go there. By the way, it's a desert place. Oh. But he goes. So he is obedient in the first place, which is brilliant. And then he's obedient a second time. Because the Spirit of the Lord says to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So he does. And then later on, I feel that he's obedient again. And he's obedient just by doing his bit. Okay, I really like the way that this is phrased in this particular version, which is, I think it's the ESV version. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth." That was his step of obedience. It wasn't so much what he said, because I believe, you know, what he said came from the Spirit. It came from God living inside of him and that kind of passion that he had for Jesus. His obedience was that he opened his mouth. And I think that's a real key lesson for any of us that want to lead people to Jesus, is we need to be obedient, listen to the Spirit and go where God directs us, and then we need to open our mouth and just trust, take that step of what will come out. I think it's definitely fair to say, though, that Philip is not the first person on the scene in this eunuch's life. He might be the first sort of Christian on the scene in the eunuch's life, the first sort of human person, but the Spirit clearly has been working on this man. He's going to Jerusalem to worship. There's obviously something going on there in his heart about God. He's reading from the Bible. Well, reading from the Old Testament. He's reading from the prophet Isaiah. So again, you know, it's not that if he's sort of brand new to all this. It's not as if Philip's coming up to someone that doesn't know, hasn't got a clue about anything that's going on. He clearly has some background that's kind of warmed him up, I suppose, to learning about Jesus. And that's saying important to recognise that role of the Spirit. So when we want to talk to somebody about Jesus, when we want to take that step, I think it's important that we pray. We actually say, Spirit, you know, go and do your thing. Speak to their heart. Warm them up for me to go on and talk to them about Jesus. The other thing I want to talk about is the confidence of Philip. And again, I think that's easy to kind of say, yeah, but that's Philip. You know, he was around at the time. You know, he kind of met these big movers and shakers. He clearly was in touch with the Spirit. So of course he had confidence. But he had confidence in the message that he was bringing to the eunuch. And that is the same message that we have today. Am I right? Same message that we have that he's got to bring. So we ought to have confidence in the message that we bring also. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the speed at which this happened. We don't know how long Philip was talking to the eunuch for. It might have been a few hours. It might have been a few days, I guess. But so the text doesn't really sort of give that impression. The text gives the impression that, say, it is quite a short time period. It doesn't talk about them spending the night and then going elsewhere. So there was a conversion. Eunuch gave his life to Jesus. And then he wanted to be baptized straight away. So I just wanted to say that, you know, actually waiting to be baptized is not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, I'm not saying that you can't become a Christian and then have a break, have a think, kind of, you know, read some Bible, get some learning, and then be baptized. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but actually the Bible is saying, well, you know, believe and be baptized. It can be that quick. There's something wrong with saying, yeah, I've given my life to Jesus and now I want to be baptized. And this eunuch has got enthusiasm for being baptized. You can see they're travelling on the road and he kind of goes, ah, there's some water. I can be baptised there, can't I? Yes. Philip then doesn't ask him a load of kind of extra questions about his history and, you know, what he's done in the past and, you know, where he's going to now and what his life is like back, you know, in Ethiopia. He doesn't kind of have the kind of big tick list of things to ask him. Philip seems perfectly happy with proceeding with being baptized. And see, I quite like, very much like that, the very last sentence there, that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch didn't sort of regret it. The eunuch didn't go, oh, well, that was a bit quick, or not really sure I made the right decision there. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And then we should be confident in the message that we're bringing, confident that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that baptism is the good thing for people to be doing. I want to bring to you a little flow chart that I put together, which say might be helpful for people here. Now, if you're into flow charts, you'll notice I didn't actually start with the start, and I'm not going to stop with the stop, but, you know, I've got the right shape there for a question, don't I? Those people that say into flow charts. That is the question symbol or the decision emblem. And the question is, do you believe? You might ask me, believe in what? Well, believe in Jesus. Believe in the message. Believe in the things that Dave went through last time. Remember, had those 11 points. And that's a really good place to start. If your question is believe in what exactly, then say those 11 statements that we read out together last week is a really good place to start in terms of what we mean by what we believe. And again, another little plug. So those statements are on the website as well. So if you want to kind of remind yourself what those 11 things are, then they are on the website. And obviously, do you believe? It is kind of a free answer, isn't it? It should be a yes or a no, but it could be a yeah, I'm not sure as well. So where do those go? Or they go to here. If you're sat here and you either don't believe, first of all, I'd say that you are absolutely very welcome here if you don't believe. I'd actually say that it's not very healthy, really, for a church if every single person is a believer in the church. You think, well, are you outreaching? Are you bringing people in? What's going on there? So you're absolutely very much welcome here to share with us, to hear from us, to speak to us, to be friends with us, and to join with us in what we do. And I'd say similarly, if you're not sure, the box is the same. Talk, watch, learn, listen. All of those things. Try and figure out what it is that you don't believe, what it is that you're sort of struggling with. What is it that you're not sure about? And actually talk to somebody about it. Hardest of all, possibly, is let go and step out. For some people, that is what needs to happen. In order for God to fully take hold of us, we need to let go of our human defense mechanisms. For some people, they would kind of want to know everything before they make that final step and that final decision. We're never going to know everything. Only God knows everything. There has to be some humility in us that says, all right, well, I don't quite get everything, but I know enough to want to give my life to Jesus. Letting go as well. Letting go of our old ways of life. Step out and seek God. Remember Revelation chapter 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. So for some people, they've heard God's voice, they've heard the knock at the door, just need to open the door and let him in. So where else can we go from, after that, you see I've got a feedback loop. So once you've talked, you've learnt, you've listened, you've stepped out, ask yourself the question again. And obviously if you still don't, then you're on that journey, you're on that loop in terms of working out what it is that you don't believe, what it is that you're not sure about, and trying to work through it. Obviously there's another box, isn't there? Which is yes. Woohoo! Put in brackets. A lot of us here do believe. So where does that go? I go to another question. Have you been baptized? Again, you would have thought it'd be yes or no, but and I've not put it on the screen there, but there actually probably is another box. They say, well, actually, I'm not sure. Maybe you've come from another kind of culture of church. So maybe you've been christened, maybe you've been confirmed, maybe there's been some other ceremony that you've been through. And therefore, you're like, well, not really sure whether that, does that count? Am I been baptized? If the answer is yes, then again, woohoo, brilliant. I can then invite you to grow, mature, serve, lead, give, worship, enjoy. All of those things that, you know, we want to do as members of Rugeley Community Church. If the answer is no, I'm not saying that you can't do all of this, by the way, if the answer is no. But in terms of baptism, then again, I want to say, well, why not? Let's talk. So we want to know, why is it that you haven't been baptized yet? And so there's going to be lots of answers to that. There's going to be lots of reasons to that. And I've listed a few on here. First of all, maybe you're saying that you're not ready. This is probably the most popular reason, I'd say. I want to challenge you and say, why? Why do you feel that you are not ready? As I said in the story of Philip and the eunuch, you know, taking some time, that's fine. But there's no kind of extra qualification that you need. So maybe it's really that the fact that you feel that you're not worthy to be baptized. And this is a problem with your identity in Christ Jesus, which again is a part of what we're about at Rugeley Community Church, is explaining your identity. That God loves you, that Jesus died for you, that you are significant, that you're important, that you are loved. So you are worthy to be baptized. Maybe there's some sort of spiritual issue. This might be sin, this might be past sins in our lives. I want to be clear that the sins of our past, which may hold us back, Jesus died on the cross for those sins. He has given us grace and total forgiveness. Baptism is a demonstration of putting to death our old ways, our old lives, our old sin. So any sin, any kind of historical sin that you have does not disqualify you from being baptized. If we have a current spiritual issue, then yeah, we definitely want to talk about that. We definitely want to help you through that. We definitely want to put in some practical steps, some prayer ministry to help you with whatever spiritual issue you are facing at the present. But again, that doesn't actually disqualify you from being baptized. Maybe there's a practical issue with being baptized. And I would actually say to you that maybe the most obvious practical issue is you could say to me, Andy, I'd love to be baptized, but in case you haven't noticed, we haven't got a baptism pool here. So that's a practical issue as to why maybe baptism could be tricky. Well, I would say, don't worry about that. We can sort that as leaders. We're looking to buy one of these kind of put together baptism pools, so we actually do a baptism right here. But of course, we don't have to baptize here. We can go to the swimming pool and do it. We can go to the canal and do it. Probably not a great idea for health and safety, but do you know what I mean? That's a very simple way of fixing those kind of practical issues. Again, maybe you've got a physical or medical impairment or disability which makes you think, well, I can't be baptized because of this reason. You know, maybe there's going to be some challenges there. But again, come and tell us. Come and make that our problem rather than keeping that as being your problem. Let's talk about it. Maybe there's a fear issue. So for some people, you know, this kind of idea of a public show about being baptized really puts dread into their hearts. They really, really don't want to do it. Maybe you've got a fear of water itself. You know, some people are scared of deep water, of swimming. So what I'd say to you is, A, you know, we're all naturally fearful people. We're all scared of something. But, you know, Jesus is there and the Holy Spirit is there to help us through those fears. So we will want to help you through any fears that you have towards baptism. B, I'd say, do it anyway. Even if you're scared, even if you really don't want to do it, that's not kind of who you are, then I would challenge you to do it anyway. And I would say that heaven will be extra proud of you, and we will be extra proud of you if that's something that you're really scared of. So yeah, there'll be kind of extra blessings for you if you're prepared to step out and do that. And C, once you've done it anyway, use that as a springboard to really grow in confidence, to say, yeah, I conquered that fear and I did it. And I think that's going to be really powerful for your walk forward. Maybe you've got a differing biblical opinion. Part of kind of being in this environment, of being a safe place to be, you know, Richard said it, Dave said it, we've all said it. It's okay to have biblical difference of opinions with us. That's okay. We have a culture of honour here at RCC. We're not going to get mad at you. We're not going to start shouting at you. We do want to talk about it, of course. And then we would have to come to a conclusion about whether that difference is a really kind of big difference. That's a kind of key difference. And again, I'll point you back to those 11 statements. If that biblical difference kind of contradicts one of those 11 statements, then yeah, maybe we've got a bit of a problem there. We're going to have to work through that. But there are lots of kind of minor biblical differences which we can just go, okay, we think slightly different thing there. An example of that actually is in the story that I showed you earlier. I don't think I've got it now. Which is when the story of Philip and the eunuch. Right at the end of that little verse, it says this: "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." So it says in the text, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. So there might be some different biblical opinions of what actually that means. Does it mean that the Spirit kind of transported Philip away? Was it a bit like Star Trek? He kind of disappeared from one place and reappeared in another? Or does it simply mean that the Spirit kind of whispered to Philip, all right, turn round, walk that way, and maybe the eunuch was, you know, a bit dozy and thought, oh, where's he gone? Oh, don't know. I would say to you that I believe that it says, I believe that Philip was transported. Because I think, well, why would the text kind of use those languages? Why wouldn't the text say, and Philip walked off? Why would it kind of use a kind of different kind of language there? So maybe you think differently. Maybe you think that, say, Philip just had a message from the Spirit and went off. And I would say to you, that's absolutely fine, as long as you believe that it is possible for God to transport Philip. As long as you believe in miracles, you believe that God has the power to do that. If you don't believe that that's true, then, like I say, I think we've got a bit of an issue. But say, if you just got a slight different biblical opinion, then that is fine. We can cope with that here at Rushi Community Church. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a fact you've never been asked. So maybe you want to be baptized, but you think, well, no one's ever asked me, so I'm not going to come step forward. Maybe you've been putting it off for one reason or another. You think, yeah, I really must get baptized this year, but it never really happened. Well, finally, you know, it could be disobedience. And, you know, I do use, it is quite a strong word to use, but we believe that the Bible kind of teaches us, you know, this is the right thing to do. This is the way to do it. Believe and be baptized. So back to my flow chart. So say, if it's a case of no, you haven't been baptized, or no, you're not sure, then let's talk. Where does that lead us? Well, that leads us back to, do you believe? Yes. Then have you been baptized? And then hopefully we're going to get a lot of people then coming into this new box, which says no, but I will be soon. So when I finished speaking, say, we want you to come forward and talk to us. I've also got a little kind of sort of sign-up sheet here. Richard is, well, us as a leadership team, we're going to have an evening in the new year where we want to talk to all of you that want to be baptized. So we're going to go through what that means in more detail, some of the more kind of practicalities of kind of what that means, and start to actually, right, get a date down to start doing some of this. So if you're interested in that, then, yep, come and talk to me. You can talk to me about why you haven't been baptized. You can talk to me about your faith. Do you believe? Maybe you say you know and not sure. If you want to talk to me or one of the other guys, brilliant. Say and put your name up on the screen here. Okay, I've got lots more slides, but I've not got a lot more time. So I'm going to whiz through these points. Key aspects of baptism. First of all, immersion. Why? Well, because of the way that the word is come from the Greek, to dip, to submerge, to plunge. The fact that John the Baptist, he didn't baptize people with a kind of, didn't go around with a bottle of water or a glass of water. He baptized people in the River Jordan. In the story I showed you, the Ethiopian, he got baptized when they came to suitable water. Again, they're on a chariot, they're on a journey. Surely they're going to have some water on this chariot. That'd be really silly, wouldn't it, in a kind of a desert environment to not have some water on board the chariot. So it's not as if they didn't have any water, but when they came to suitable water, the eunuch said, ah, that looks good. Now let's get baptized. Baptism is personally endorsed by Jesus. Jesus himself is publicly baptized by John, even though Jesus arguably didn't need to be baptized. Jesus and his disciples baptized loads of people. So again, Jesus is saying, yeah, this is good. This is what I'm about. From Matthew, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a kind of commandment for his disciples, for his followers, and for us, because we're his followers as well. Just wanted to share this with you. I was watching an episode of DIY SOS, which I quite like. And as part of that, they were building new houses for injured army veterans. And this is just showing you a personal royal endorsement to what they were doing. So the royal family, you know, they could have written a nice letter, couldn't they? They could have sent a letter to DIY SOS saying, yeah, we think you're doing a really good job there, well done. They could have put out some kind of press release to say, yeah, by the way, everybody, the world media, we think that this, what the DIY SOS guys are doing by building these free homes for injured army veterans is a good idea. They could have gone on some sort of talk show, I suppose, and talking about it there. But no, they actually decided, you know, William and Harry here, actually decided to actually go there personally and get involved. Obviously, well, I imagine they're not great builders. I imagine they didn't sort of let them loose with anything too technical. But they laid a few bricks and they painted a few walls and they spoke to the people involved. So a real personal endorsement, saying that's what Jesus did for baptism. He went there personally and said, this, what we're doing here, this is good. It's Jesus' plan for all Christians. There's a verse here from Acts 10 where Peter is looking at baptizing everyone that has come to believe. And the point that Peter's making here is it's for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Again, back then, that was sort of a big deal. It's like, really? For the Gentiles too? Of course, now it's, you know, we're all Gentiles here, really, so it's not such a big deal to us. But you say, this is interesting, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you were sort of at that meeting, Peter would have been sort of blocking your exit at the door, saying, no, go and be baptized. It's going to be personally significant. So all of us are going to have a story about when and how and why we got baptized, but it really ought to be personally significant. And this is speaking a little bit about christenings and about dedication, about things that we do for babies. Okay, that's not to say what we do there is not wrong. It's a really, really nice thing to do, a really honouring thing to do, to bring that baby before God and to give thanks. But I would argue that it's not personally significant to that baby, because the baby doesn't really know what's going on. That baby hasn't made a personal choice in the matter. So, say baptism should be personally significant to us. We don't set an age limit on baptism at RCC, either lower or upper. But yeah, we do kind of say it must be a choice you must be personally significant to you. So you've got to be old enough to kind of show that, yeah, this is personally significant to you. Public. Say for some people, they go, it's got to be public. The Bible doesn't really kind of put in black and white, so, you know, there's got to be at least 20 people here in order for it to count. But there is a general principle that you cannot baptize yourself. Okay, you've got to be baptized by somebody. So from that respect, it's kind of public already. There's somebody else that's kind of witnessing that. And say the stories of baptism in the Bible, it just seems to generally be, you know, a few people around. And really, it's about showing your faith. It's a great opportunity to show your faith to other people. I think for me, definitely, again, we're talking about my baptism. If I'd invited my non-Christian friends to church on a Sunday, they would say, no thanks. But because I said to them, will you come to my baptism to watch me be baptized, to actually go under the water, they're like, oh, yeah, all right then, we will come to that. So, say, being baptized is a really good opportunity for you to get people to church that otherwise wouldn't come. And also, as I said, it's all about joy. If you get baptized, you know, where there's only one other person there, you're not really sharing the joy. So at Roosie Community Church, you know, we want to share in your joy. We want to be there. We want to be part of that celebration. And finally, it doesn't make you perfect. I think it's a good point to say. So just as though I mentioned earlier that sin, you know, our kind of the way that we are, the state that we are currently in, say, doesn't hold us back from being baptized, we should also not think that, oh yeah, baptism's going to solve everything for me. Baptism is not a case of, I've got this issue, well, I'll tell you what then, I'll be baptized, and when I come up, everything will be fine again. No. It doesn't make us perfect. We are still going to be largely the same people that we were before. But we still need the Holy Spirit, say, to be with us, to minister us, to guide us. But yeah, it does make when I say it does make us perfect, it does make a difference, I feel. It is something that we look back on as a kind of moment, a commitment in our lives, something that we can kind of stamp and say, yeah, at my baptism, that's when God really took hold of my life and brought me into a new chapter.